Much, Dr. Jane, what a blessing it is. Sometimes people say that they were blessed when you came in, but actually it is me who was blessed when I got connected to MISPA in a very divine way. Thank you so much, Dr. Jane's Kanyanya, because God used you to connect me. God, you know, yeah, she just talked about, the minister of MISPA, and talked to Dr. Jane and said he's a man of God and he has an anointing that I believe can help. And that's how my wife and I also prayed and God connected us here. My wife has just left. She's gone to work, but she's been glad to participate the much that she has been. It's a blessing to see men of God in the city. Pastor Munio, it's always a great blessing. What a blessing, Pastor Jacob. And many other men of God, you know, our hosts, Pastor Tony, and many of you leaders in different places. It is a great, great blessing when a ministry like this comes in town and those that God has given authority in the spiritual atmosphere are able to receive it. I tell you, the presence of these men and women of God here just says that this is a legitimate ministry and there's no devil in hell that can attack what God is doing this weekend. I know I do have very few minutes to speak because I know, you know, time is gone and there's a cut of time that we are supposed to be in this building. So I might preach like maybe 5-10 minutes, no problem. I can be able to, clench my message into 5-10 minutes and then probably we're just going to be out of here. But let me just say a quick thing. Just a few things that are very important. First of all, for those of you who are not very familiar with MISPA ministry, I want you to know that it is the Spirit of God that has drawn you even to be here tonight. Now, this is a very special ministry. There's a very, very unique anointing that works through the MISPA ministry. First of all, for those of you who might be interested about the spiritual things, this is a ministry that has an anointing for the miraculous. Now, the testimonies you heard here tonight are just like the tip of the iceberg. I wish everyone that has connected to this ministry could be given an opportunity to testify. And not just that many, because there's a prayer line. And people log in. People with cancer. People that are bringing, prayer needs of loved ones that are on the deathbed. Mortgages that are impossible. And things that only God and only God can do. And so we have had testimonies of the supernatural power of God that is at work through this humble servant of God. And so this is a ministry that you really want to plug in into. This is not the kind of ministry that's going to draw you away from your church, okay? That's why you see pastors are here with MISPA ministry. All right? Just get that one. You'll never hear Dr. Jane telling you need to send me your tithe. She knows better than that. You'll never hear her say, you need to leave your church. She's a ministry. God has given her a ministry to the body of Christ. As if that is not enough, because that should even be enough. If you know where the power of God is, you just plug in. Guess what? Bam. You see the miracles of God happening in your life. As if that is not enough. There's a communication here I need to see. It might say, no, I'm using mine. Yeah, I'm using mine. Supposed to be here by 9:30, latest 10. And so, yeah, we just talk with, pastor, and we're going to be fine. We're going to be fine. Amen. So, as if that is not enough, the spiritual part of the whole thing, the MISPA ministry. Look at what God is doing through this ministry in the physical. Now, what you just saw, the clips here, and I really encourage all of you to come back tomorrow morning for the breakfast. First of all, of course, we're going to feed you. But then you're going to have an opportunity to hear the testimony of Pastor Jane, how it all began, the challenges she has gone through. We're going to be sharing a lot of other pictures. You will see literally lives of widows who had no hope turned around because of MISPA ministry. Now, most of you are from Africa. And you know, our culture doesn't know how to take care of widows very well and the orphans. This is a ministry that is touching lives like no other. This is where if you invest your money, I guarantee you, and she's such a faithful servant, she uses every money that has ever been given for the right cause. Some of the sisters have gone down there to see literally what God is doing. All those women that you saw under the tent, they cry because no one was thinking about them. But here's a ministry that is coming into the widows who are living in mud houses that are grass thatched. And in a short time, a decent house is erected for them. Water tanks, chicken coops. They are empowered economically. Not only that, in her meeting, she preaches the gospel. People get saved. People get healed. The kingdom of God is populated as the kingdom of hell is depopulated. This is where you want to sow your seed. So I believe that the water tanks that the Spirit of God has talked about through the servant of God, I believe that they are going to be forthcoming. We got four. Some of you, God is speaking to you right now. After the meeting, you can talk to any one of us. Just say the $200. I'm going. And you see, the good thing with this ministry is an ongoing ministry. You don't have to have the 200 today. You can say, hey, I'm giving myself the next 2 or 3 months to come up with one water tank. We're going to say hallelujah. Some of you may say, okay, in 6 months, I want to organize myself and come up with one house. Just tell us how you want to do it. But I guarantee you, if you place your seed in this ministry, you'll never regret. You can take that from an apostle. Praise God. When I came into this ministry, I brought my apostolic grace because she has the prophetic grace. And I think when you combine these two, there are always dangerous concussions in the spiritual realm. We have seen great things happening. Praise God. You might not know who I am. I'm Pastor Isaac. I do an apostolic ministry. I've been here for 7 years in Dallas. Until recently, God spoke to me and told me to launch a ministry not here in Dallas. God sent me into a very interesting city. I've been asking God why. There are not many Kenyans there, and so definitely, probably, it's not even a Kenyan ministry. I don't know what it is. Not many Africans. It's a place that I've been doing some research. There are powers of witchcraft that are very much at work in that city. People that have lived there, they tell me, they are demonic manifestations. They're strongholds, real strongholds. And the more I hear about the spiritual strongholds and witchcraft, the more I'm getting excited, just wanting to go there and do the warfare. So God willing, by the end of this year, I'll be, relocating to Portland, Oregon. That's where I'm going to be living and doing the work of the ministry. The pastors in this city, they have been so generous. I've ministered in most of their churches, and they said, Apostle, you cannot live like that. We want to do a farewell for you. And so my farewell is December the 4th. For those of you who live here, please just come out. It's going to be at Nehema Gospel Church. That's where we're going to be meeting, and pastors and ministers and churches are just going to come and send us with a blessing. Amen. So just come and pray for us. It's a difficult task, but warfare excites me. Let me not even go that direction. Amen. Let me share a very brief word, just in point form, tonight. The anointing is already here, so we don't need to say much. The theme of this conference is very prophetic, and I pray that every session, we have very few sessions. Tonight is one. Tomorrow morning, breakfast. Breakfast is very important. Just come. You're going to see some things, and Dr. Jane is going to have enough time to prophesy over many of you and just declare the word of the Lord. I'm also going to be here. Afternoon, we're going to have this man of God, Pastor Munio, exploding here. He is an anointed man of God in the afternoon. And then in the evening, it's going to be a combination of all those anointings. And Pastor Jane is going to be preaching and declaring the word of God tomorrow night and doing the anointing service. It's normally a very short meeting, but testimonies come out of what God has done. Amen. So rising above the seeing level, this is powerful. The scripture has been given to us, Hebrews 11:1. And it describes about faith, you know. Now faith, you know. And faith is described there as the substance of the things that cannot be seen, the evidence of things that cannot be seen. And you and I, as children of God, we need to know how to operate above the seeing level. If you look at the book of Genesis chapter 1, you're going to discover the first Adam and Eve, they fell because of operating on the seeing level. Scripture says that Eve, when she looked at the fruit, the Bible says when she saw it was on the seeing level. She saw it was good for food. She saw it was good to make one wise. And so she picked it from the tree after seeing. She was operating on the seeing level. And that's why Adam and Eve plunged humanity into the kind of mess that we see every day. But Scripture also talks about the second Adam that came around. And he was also tempted on the seeing level. Because the Bible says that just before he started his ministry, after he was baptized, Scripture says that he was taken by the Spirit of God into the wilderness. And that's where the devil tempted him. There are three major temptations, but one of them, it was on the seeing level. The Bible says he was taken high on the mountain. And the devil showed him all the glories of the world. And he said, those ones, they belong to me. What was the devil trying to do? He was trying to make sure that Jesus sees. It was on the seeing level. Then he says, you can have all that if you can only bow down and worship me. The first Adam fell, but the second Adam. Hallelujah. The second Adam said, I'm not operating on the seeing level. I know I saw that, but that's nothing compared to what I can see with my spiritual eyes. And so he overcame. And that's why the church that he said, I am building my church upon the rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church has been designed to operate not by sight. The Bible says we walk not by sight, but we walk by faith. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 7, for we walk not by sight, we walk by faith. I want to quickly go over one character that I see who operated above the seeing level, and we can learn several things from her, and her name is Hannah. The story of Hannah in the Bible is a powerful story. And many of us can relate with Hannah in so many different levels. We don't have time to read because our time is gone. But if you read 1 Samuel chapter 1, and maybe we can just read a few verses here and there, maybe jump here and there a little bit, and let's see how far we can go. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 1, introducing us to this family, here's what the Bible says. From verse 1, now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim, of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zaph, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives, the name of one was Hannah, and the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. And her arrival also provoked her severely to make her miserable, because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Verse 8, Elkanah her husband said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? And if you read after that, you're going to see that she ended up in the temple, in the house of God, where she decided to pray and seek the Lord. And she interacted with a priest that we would say, some people say he was a priest that had no vision, but really he had the anointing of God because he declared a word over her, and that was it. I heard the Spirit of God tell me that tonight, this being the first night of Mizpah Conference 2016, Dallas, that this is the night that God is going to deal with long-term provocations. Long-term provocations. You see, what Hannah was going through was not short-term. It is easy for you to deal with something that comes and goes. It is easy to deal with a stranger who looks at you in a funny way, you know, downtown when you are doing your groceries. It's easy to deal with them because after you do, you know, you do your groceries, that's it. It's easy to deal with, you know, with someone probably, you can even put up with someone who works occasionally where you work and then they're going to go away. But it is harder for you to deal with someone who provokes you, who lives within your quarters, who is within the neighborhood, who knows you too well and who knows what buttons to push. Penina was this kind of a person, studied Hannah so well, she knew what button to push, she knew what to say, she knew when to parade her children before Hannah. It was a long-term provocation. And if I'm reading correctly, I think this went on for many years because the Bible talks about Penina having sons and daughters. That means it was year after year. And could be the first few years, Hannah was kind of saying, this is just going to change. It's going to go away. Yeah, maybe Penina is going to come to her senses and know that she should behave better. You know, there are those things that we assume, we wish that they are just going to change. Some of you really expect others to understand you and to treat you better. Some of you even go to an extent of expecting the devil to treat you better after some time. Yeah, he should know that he has really, you know, pushed me and he should let me go. So could be the first years Hannah did not take it seriously. After all, she was still young and she felt like the biology was on her side. You know, there are times when you buy time because everything looks like, you know, there's still hope, naturally. But there is a point that came for Hannah. And she said, I cannot put up with this anymore. And I pray that God is going to bring many of you that are here to that point. Because I have realized that in the spiritual things, until you confront some issues with seriousness, they'll never change. We are dealing with an enemy who is not merciful. An enemy who loves when you are broke, when your family is in chaos, when your ministry is not working, when your gift is not working. They love it. Enemies love when you're not functioning like you're supposed to function. Even some of the friends that you call your friends, they really feel good when they know that you are not up to where they are. Yeah, in fact, some of them, they might wish that you continue staying there because at least they have something to show off. And so even some that smile at you and show you that they are your friends, they really wish that your business did not succeed or go to the next level. But I came here to tell you that there is a time that comes when you have to take matters in your hands. And that's the anointing that you find in Mizpah. Those of you that listen to Dr. Jane, sometimes I listen to her. I told you many times I log into the prayer line, but I don't talk because I know my assignment. Sometimes I will talk. Who knows? Maybe Oregon is going to open me up. But sometimes when you listen to her, sometimes you think she walk on the wrong side of the bed because she's just harsh. She's declaring things and you're wondering, what's wrong with this woman? It is because in the spiritual realm,
things, when they are volatile, they don't need a person that is a soft, backbone person. So Hannah reached at a point and said, I cannot live with this provocation for a long time. I have to put it behind me. And I sense the anointing of God tonight for you to put some things behind. I declare to you that in Jesus' name, the long-term provocations that have been, you know, messing up with your peace and with your joy, tonight is the night that you're going to lay that matter to rest and say, tonight, I'm moving on past here. And so the Bible says that, you know, Hannah put matters in her hands and she decided to rise above the sin level. Let me just talk to you at least some four things that she had to rise above so that she may be able to overcome. The first thing, she had to decide to rise above Peninnah's provocations. I think for all those years, she was focusing on Peninnah and looking at Peninnah as her prime enemy. The devil loves it when you take the spiritual warfare into the natural realm and you begin to deal with the Peninnahs. You begin to listen to the words. You begin to make them your enemies. And you know, the devil is going to use somebody that is really going to get on your nerve. Yeah. He knows who to denoint. Let's not talk about anointing. He knows who to denoint so that he may get to you. So a time came for Hannah to say, my eyes, my natural eyes, the seeing level tells me Peninnah is the problem. But I need to rise above this. Yeah. I need to rise above this that I'm seeing with the natural eye and know she is actually not the problem. So she decided to arise above Peninnah's mockery. And I'm here to encourage you as a servant of God, if you want to win this weekend, decide once and for all that you're not dealing with these issues on the natural realm. You are rising above that because you are better than that. Decide today that your contention is not against human beings. It is not against the people who do those funny things. There is a spiritual force behind. And so she rose above Peninnah's provocations. In other words, I believe there reached a time when the actions and the words of Peninnah were no longer affecting her. You know, when people say some things to mess you up, they look at your reactions. And they tell when the dosage has kicked in. Right? Yeah. They know. When they push that button, the way you react, they know. In fact, they say, yeah, it's working. I pray that you will confuse some people who push some buttons. Next time they push those buttons, they think that it is working, it's kicking in, they discover, what's happening? Has she become immune? Has he become immune? When you rise above the seeing level, you stop looking at things in the natural. Paul says the things we see are temporary, are temporal, but the things we do not see are eternal. Today, rise above your seeing level and do not deal with the provocations of Peninnah. And that's what she did. Number two, the Lord was showing me, she also had to rise above her husband's replacement offers. Now, this is very important for us to understand. And I think probably the women here can understand more. The Bible says that every time she behaved in a way where they went up yearly to offer the sacrifice to, you know, to the Lord in the temple every year, because that's what Jews do. That they had this celebration, Elkanah treated Hannah nicely because she was beautiful. She was lovely. The meaning of the name Hannah is grace or favor. She was just gracious. Elkanah, the meaning of Elkanah, El is God. Kana is creating. God has created. Of course, Penina was not also to be dismissed because her name means pearl or jewel. And how many of you know that jewels are always going to be glittering and shining and standing out? Some of you are being bothered by things that are standing out, and it looks like though you have grace, jewels are shining more. But I want you to know that the God who creates is able to turn the tables around. But you see, when the husband saw that she was not eating when others were eating, not that she was fasting, she couldn't eat. She was depressed. The Bible says that he talked to her and said, "What's wrong with you, Anna? Why are you not eating?" First of all, when it comes to giving portions, the Bible says that he would give to her double. Double. When others were only given one, she was given double. Not only that, he said, "Am I not to you better than 10 sons? I'm a good man. I love you. I take care of you. Am I not better than 10 sons?" And those words might have comforted Hannah for several years. But she reached a place and discovered all that she was getting her, you know, from her husband, as much as it was good, it was only a replacement of what she was supposed to get. She was in need of a child. And nothing could take the place of a child. Not the love of a man, not double portion gifts, not a man that is worth 10, you know, more than 10 sons. Let me tell you where some of us are losing our breakthroughs. The devil is so cunning. He tells you, "I know you don't have this thing that you are looking for, but don't you see how you have been blessed on this other area? You don't have you still don't have a ministry, but look at how you're making money. You have money. You know?" Or some of you may say, "Oh, well, I know your gift is not working, but look at this other area. It's working for you. Things are happening on this other area." There are things that are important in life, and you cannot have a replacement. No matter how many good things are happening on one side, there are things that you know, and the devil knows how to capitalize on those and to make sure that's why you don't get the breakthrough. And so, a time came when Hannah decided the good words from Elkanah are still not going to replace my need. The enemy is a tricky enemy. He can show you how things are working on this other area and tell you, "You can afford to forget that." Especially when it comes to destiny, there are things that you shouldn't even negotiate about. Destiny, the call of God in your life, the will of God, there are things, you know, family issues, ministry, there are things that are so important. You can be given $1 million. But if you're not functioning as God called you to function, you should not have peace. And so she said, "The replacement is good, but I'm going to rise above the replacement." I pray that God may help you to rise above every replacement that the enemy is trying to stick in your pursuit, and tell you, because this is happening on this other side, you don't have to worry about this. Hannah decided, "I'm actually not even going to listen to my husband.
I'm going to go straight into the temple and take matters into my hands. Number three, Hannah had to rise above her selfish agenda. Now, this is very deep. We don't have time to expound on it, but listen. When you hear God tell us that we rise above the seeing level, it is because it is important for us to even train ourselves to see things like God sees them. In the beginning, when Hannah was praying for a child, she was saying, "Give me a child that I may silence Penina." Have you heard people who pray for money so that they may also prove to the others that they also came to the United States? So and so bought a plot. Give me a ministry also. Make me a pastor so that I may also silence the others who say that I cannot preach. Make me this or the other. Give me a big car so that at the parking lot I park next to those that think that I also don't make dollars. It's called selfish agendas. And I tell you, as long as Hannah was praying alongside, based on her selfish agenda, nothing worked. But the Bible says when she entered into the temple this time, here is what she told God. She said, "Hey, God, I need a child, but I've just discovered you need a priest. You need a priest. And so I'm not just asking for a child. I'm going to be specific. I'm asking for a male child. Why? Because only males, were given the priesthood." So she had to be specific. And she said, "This issue is not about Penina anymore. It's about your house. It's about your kingdom. There is no priest." She said, "If you give me a son, I will make sure that no razor will come upon his head, because Nazirites were not supposed to be shaven. And I will give this son back to you. You have a need, I'm going to meet it. I will give back to you this son, and he shall become a priest." God said, "Hey, this one who is now seeing my need and wanting to meet it." God just unlocked that womb. I know you are praying for money. And money is good, especially when it is in your bank account. It feels good when you have money. You should see me. When I have money, I even change my walking style. How many of you know it feels good to have money? It's good to pray for money. But let me tell you, let me teach you a more powerful way of praying for money. Look for a kingdom agenda. If you are a member of a church, look around and see what that church needs. Or look at the pastor and his family, and identify a need. And say, "God, give me this financial breakthrough that I want to bless my pastor in this and this area. Or that I may bless this church in this area. Or that, like we have just shown you the pictures." Why don't you stand before God and say, "God, I'm asking for money. I know I need it. But I have just seen you have a need. You have a need of touching a widow. Give me financial breakthrough." Rise above your selfish agenda. As much as your agenda is important, God's agenda comes number one. Listen, I don't know whether she knew it was going to work that way, but when she did that and God blessed her with Samuel, we know, and Samuel means asked of the Lord. After Samuel, the Bible says she was able to get other sons. But that one son, Samuel, was worth more than 20,000 sons of Penina. I prophesy to many of you tonight, what you are going to get out of this, it is something that will not only fulfill a kingdom need, but it will be unique and it's going to be worth 1,000 times more than all those rivals that have been provoking you and trying to prove that you are not, you know, you are nobody and God is not hearing you. That is the quickest way of getting a breakthrough. Meet God's need. And that is what she arose above her selfish agenda. And she met the need that God had. And let me conclude by saying this. The first thing is that the Bible says when she went to pray, we know the story of how she was praying and she was in bitterness of soul. And she was not even voicing out her need, but her lips were moving. And the Bible says Eli was sitting like an old priest who needed to be replaced, but he was in office. Now I want to counsel many of you. You may not like the person in the office, but you need to respect the office. Some of you don't like Donald J. Trump. He is going to be your president. You better start training yourself to like him. Oh, you know, he said he's going to deport people. If there is someone who can give people papers quickly, it is that guy. God works with crazy people. Because if crazy people do the right things, you know, some of you may say, oh, I don't like my pastor. You may not like him. And you know, most pastors are not likable, actually. They are physical. I don't know why God chooses ugly people to put them in the office there. People who have some kind of, you know, things that if you are given, you would say, watch, akujange tu Sunday. Let him just be coming Sunday, but staying in my house. So you may not like the person. But listen, if you understand that the office that they are holding has an anointing, you cooperate with the person and the office. That is what Hannah did. Eli was not one of those favorite pastors. I guarantee you. But he was in the office. So, he first of all even misunderstood her. How many of you have ever been misunderstood? How many of you have never been misunderstood because you must be living in a different planet? He said, put away your drunkenness. At least the Lord is going to have mercy on you, you drunken woman. She did not get offended like most people and, you know, leave the church and go to the next one that started the other day. She said, man of God. I think she had the Nigerian spirit. Oh, Papa. He said, I'm not drunk, oh. I'm simply pouring my soul before God. Eli did not even want to know what she was praying for. Do you see how insensitive this pastor was? You know, most of us, when we see our members crying at us, they come and say, what is wrong, my sister? Oh, hallelujah. But he said, whatever it is that you're asking of the Lord, may it be granted unto you. Oh, Jesus. That is what Hannah is waiting for. He said, this is a man in the office, and he has said whatever I need. The Bible says she grabbed it by faith. Now, how do I know she grabbed it by faith? The Bible says the minute he said that, she left the temple. The first thing she said, where is that food? Give it. The Bible says she ate and she was no longer sad. Now, women who are here, how long does it take for you to start feeling there's something growing? At least several months, right? She did not wait to feel. When the word was declared, because she was not operating on the seeing level. She was operating above the seeing level. She grabbed hold of the word. And the Bible says she ate and she was no longer sad. It took 9 months for the manifestation. But listen, people who operate above the seeing level, they don't wait for a manifestation. They grab the declaration and they seal the deal and they let the manifestation take care of itself. And sure enough, the Bible says after 9 months, Samuel came out. When did she receive her miracle? Not after 9 months. when Eli said, "May the Lord grant you your request." That is how we operate above the seeing level. And I don't know what kind of provocations have been happening in your life, because the devil, some of you, has been provoking you through people. Long term. I declare to you tonight, there's an anointing in this house to deal with every long term provocation. I declare to you that in Jesus' name, you will come and testify. Next year when we meet, you will say, "That last night, there is something that was brought." I don't know whether it is the issue of immigration, it is the issue of your family or ministry or personal, whatever it is. There is an anointing in this house that is going to deal with your penina. Once and for all. Because you will operate above the seeing level. Stand on your feet because we are out of time. Ropokoshika rabura setaya. In the name of Jesus, raise both of your hands to heaven. Just begin to receive. I don't know what this message means to you, but if there's something specific in your life that you want to vocalize before God, go ahead and do it right now. Just go ahead and tell God, "This is my word. I was waiting for it. I'm not even going to wait for anymore. I receive this declaration right now. For I declare that to you that in Jesus' name," even as you're raising up your hands and as you're talking to the Lord, "may the Lord deal with your provocation." In the mighty name of Jesus, every long-term situation that has vexed your spirit and has siphoned the joy and the peace and the calmness in life out of you, I declare tonight, may the Lord deal with it in Jesus' mighty name. Go ahead and talk to him. Go ahead and talk to him. Go ahead and talk to him. Father, in Jesus' name, we get into the warfare right now. We take authority and power over the spirit of Peninnas in the name of the Lord. Every long-term provocation that resides within our houses, that knows what buttons to push, tonight is the end in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we arise to operate above the seeing level. We don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. And in the name of Jesus Christ, let every penina bow. Come on, worship God in the house. We rebuke every generational curse. Every voice of Penina that has been speaking over God's people for many years, we silence you once and for all. Tonight, in the name of Jesus Christ. Shalalalabaganda. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, let the honor of God enter into the temple. Let the honor of God enter into the closet. Let the honor of God get away even from the husband. Get the matters in her hands. Shindolobo Sakabona. We refuse every replacement in the name of Jesus. We know some things are good, but they are not it. We declare we shall have breakthrough 100% in the name of Jesus. We refuse to be shortchanged. We refuse to be shortchanged. Father, we declare tonight we will not put up with Peninnas anymore. Tonight in Jesus' mighty name, we penetrate the barrier. We penetrate the barrier. We penetrate the curse right now. Father, this one time, we are not getting out of the temple the way we shall eat. We shall rejoice. We grab hold of this word. We declare it is well. Father, as your servant, I declare it is well. In every area of your children that they have been facing Peninnas, provoking them day and night, I declare that in Jesus' name it is well. It is well. It is well. Thank you, Father, for the anointing of meeting the need in your house. We declare we change the battle right now. We turn the tables. It is not a Peninnas issue anymore. We are meeting the need of Jehovah God.
Just thank him for one more minute. Lift up both of you and begin to thank him right now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Korabashanda rabagando. Korobosika rababoshando dobokaya. Mando dobokosha labagando. Father, for those that have been called into the ministry, for those that are already in the ministry, I call forth their full manifestation and operation of their gifting. In the name of Jesus. Oh, mande kesia lababashata. Let every gifting, every talent, every gift, every anointing, let it operate 100% full blast in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, the pastors who are here and the ministers who are here, who are facing provocations that are permanent, that seem that they are not going away, today we declare it is over. In the name of Jesus Christ. Shando Robokanda. Family issues. We declare that in Jesus' name, all those that have brought provocations, it is time for them to park. We silence every penina in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for Samuels. We thank you for Samuels tonight. We thank you for Samuels. Because Samuels are going to open the way for others to come in. We declare that in Jesus' name. Let it be recorded even in heaven that today we have entered into the temple because we are operating above the seeing level in the name of Jesus. Father, we cooperate with the office that you have set up. It is the office of authority. We may not like Eli, but we receive the prophetic word in the name of Jesus. And because there is that declaration that may the Lord grant your request, we grab it right now. No more sadness. I pray that in the name of Jesus, the anointing will work so strongly in this men and women. They will begin to do crazy things like Hannah did. They will not wait for manifestations because it is a done deal. Thank you, Father. We declare it in the atmosphere. Let the miraculous happen right now. Begin to shift things in the spirit. In the mighty name of Jesus. Let the enemy's backbone be broken. Let the enemy's voice be silenced. In the mighty name of Jesus. Let the enemy's feet right now be immobilized. In the name of Jesus. We put those devils that have been operating, we put them on wheelchairs and paralyze them. They will not march anymore. Roka baba shita rabobonda. Reke boshando dobokaya. Nakota lalaba shando dobogaya. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we give you praise. We know it is the done deal. In Jesus' mighty name. Everybody say amen.